This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on the focus now on Yemen after its role in training the man who tried to blow up an airliner flying between Amsterdam and Detroit on Christmas Day. And David, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always good to join you, Greg.
And David, we've heard about Yemen for a long time now. Yemen was obviously the site of the USS Cole bombing back in October of 2000. It's certainly been on the radar screen. Why does it seem like so many people are surprised that Yemen is a problem in the world of radical extremism?
Well, I mean, this is probably the first major time since October of 2000 that Yemen was thrust into the spotlight in such a particular way. Not that it shouldn't have been there. It really should have over the past 9 years. And in fact, one of the major failings of the Bush administration primarily, but both administrations, is a lack of focus on dealing with this gathering storm in Yemen. The reason I say the Bush administration primarily, of course, is because they had far more time in office than the Obama administration thus far has had. But Yemen is a country beset by multiple problems. You have not only a problem with religious extremism, but also you have separatist movements that are able to fundamentally challenge the state. You also, perhaps most significantly, have both resource and ecological crises that are looming, in that, for one thing, bad agricultural policy over the past decade plus has very much depleted the water table in Yemen, which could have profound implications on this desert country. And for a second thing, Yemen is rapidly running out of fossil fuels, which have been a large part of its economy. One final thing I should mention that further complicates the already complicated picture for Yemen is that its president may not be long for this world. He's already in his 60s, and if he passes away anytime soon, there will certainly be a succession crisis, and you already have some positioning within the Yemeni government to position his replacement.
David, you brought up a number of interesting points there. Let's follow up on a few of them. First of all, in terms of al-Qaeda's presence in Yemen, are there leadership positions based there, or are they mostly recruiting young people from there?
Well, we certainly know that there is al-Qaeda leadership in Yemen. One thing that people should know about al-Qaeda is that it has evolved from being the top-down unitary organization that it was when 9/11 occurred. I still believe, and I've written about this a number of times, that al-Qaeda's senior leadership is relevant, but you also have various franchises stepping to the forefront, one franchise being the Shabab franchise in Somalia, another franchise being al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is prominent within Yemen. You do have leaders there. I was recently on Al Jazeera with Abdelbari Atwan, the editor of Al-Quds Al-Arabi, an Arabic language daily newspaper in London, and the author of The Secret History of Al-Qaeda, and he believes that Osama bin Laden is in Yemen. Now, I'm not going to go that far or make such an audacious claim, but we do have documented records of top-level militants from Pakistan taking some sort of an underground railroad, so to speak, and traveling to Yemen. As Pakistan's become too hot, they think that Yemen is a more effective safe haven. In essence, Yemen can be considered one of the four major al-Qaeda safe havens in the world today.
And David, you mentioned that there could be a succession crisis when this president departs the scene one way or the other. What's the status of their government right now? Are they really someone we can partner with in trying to root out the extremists there, or are they part of the problem?
The answer is yes. Both are true.
Great.
Yemen is one of the most notoriously corrupt countries in the world. It's certainly within the top 40 corrupt countries, according to the objective metrics that we have, which makes the provision of aid to Yemen problematic. It's not something that would be unheard of. In fact, we are going to have no choice but to work with this government. But the government, it's a government. It's an ineffective government that's very corrupt, very much like the government that Karzai has run in Afghanistan. What we need to be able to do is, A, work with these governments. governments, but B, we need to do a much better job of not only decreasing corruption, but helping to improve the governance of these countries, because so long as the government doesn't really have legitimacy within the population, you're only going to see the conditions that give rise to things like al-Qaeda and let them flourish in countries like this. You only see those conditions continuing or perhaps escalating.
Given the natural resources problems that you mentioned earlier, is that fostering greater instability, which only makes it a more fertile ground for terrorism?
Of course, because what you end up with is less money on the part of the government. The Yemeni president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, has been what Gregory Johnson calls in foreign policy a master manipulator. He's been able to rely on his relatives, his trusted allies, and use money to create a patronage network. And as the pool of money available to him through fossil fuel exports declines, his ability to do such things which can create stability, albeit a very fragile stability, also declines.
David, you mentioned earlier that largely what we're seeing is a failure of the Bush administration and continuing into the Obama administration. What should have the Bush administration been doing? What should the Obama administration be doing?
Well, I think that we need to conceptualize the overall conflict that we're engaged in with radical Islam as being fundamentally a counterinsurgency. That al-Qaeda, I think, understands itself as an insurgent group, a global insurgent group, that resorts to terrorist tactics. Giving greater aid to the Yemeni government, trying to improve issues of governance, issues of corruption, to make it the kind of government that's stable, that's more stable in the long term, and the kind of government that can deal better with its internal issues. That's the kind of thing that we need to focus on. And now that's broad-based and multifaceted, but we've seen Yemen develop into one of the four major al-Qaeda safe havens in the world today, which is certainly evidence of failed policies.
David, we'll keep watching. I know you've been watching all along. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
David Gardenstein-Ross is the Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.